Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to speak to you today about symbolism. Symbolism. A symbol is something that represents a more important entity. Either because that other entity that's more important cannot be present or is not visible, this symbol makes it a very potent reminder. And we make great use of symbolism throughout our lives. I'll try to give you some examples. For example, the police officer wearing the badge. What does that badge represent? Even if it were to be taken off for some reason, it represents that power that he is exercising. The wedding ring is a symbol of the faithfulness to be sought and course, fulfilled and lived in marriage. The bishop has a ring. It symbolizes his marriage to the church, to his diocese, you might say. When a judge is officiating in a courtroom, that robe that he or she wears is very potent reminder of that power that they're exercising. With this, one of the things that we do for the senior class every year here at the Mount, we take them to the courthouse for an excursion or outing. And this past month, we happened to meet one of the judges in the hallway, and we just had friendly chit-chat conversation, and then she was going to be officiating. And once she puts on that robe, it's a whole different thing. That powerful symbol of her authority makes everybody stand when she comes into the courtroom. It's no longer just normal conversation. And afterwards, she removed her robe, and then she invited the class to come into her chambers. So I think that this shows again the symbol, the power of a symbol. And symbols are so powerful that that whatever is done to the symbol is projected to the person that symbol is representing. That's how strong that connection is. Think of photos of your loved ones. How do you show your love for your loved one that's not there? You have a photo. This is, by the way, the whole reason why we use statues in church. And Catholics are condemned very wrongly for symbolism. Statue of Our Lord, Statue of Our Lady, Statue of St. Michael, Statue of St. Joseph. We're not venerating the plaster for its own sake. It's who it represents. And to honor the symbol is to honor the person. To disrespect the symbol is to disrespect the person it's symbolizing. So that's how powerful symbolism is. And there are three symbols I would like to speak about today. The flag, the crucifix, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today is Flag Day. It's the day to be sure to display the flag. Why? Because it is a symbol of our country. To honor the flag is to honor the country. To disrespect the flag is to disrespect the country. And in no way do I agree with this false idea that for the sake of free expression, one can disrespect the flag. Again, it represents the country. You're disrespecting your own country. And the church recognizes this to the point where, as we can see, we even have the United States flag in the sanctuary. Some may say, how can you do that? Isn't that political? But what's interesting to note is that in 1911, Pope St. Pius X, well, it wasn't him personally, but the Holy Office operating under his direction, approved having the national flag in the sanctuary, not as a political statement, but as a moral statement. A reminder to us that all authority comes from God. No, it does. It's not we the people that give it to those that are ruling above us. No. As our Lord told Pilate, you would have no power unless it had been given to you from above. That's the principle of authority. It doesn't come from below, it comes from above. Whether it's religious authority or secular authority, parental authority, it comes from above. All authority comes from God, St. Paul tells us in one of his epistles. All authority is from above. But we are also to love our country. This is an actual virtue. And I don't mean it in the political sense here that I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it in the moral sense, that we should have a love for our country. So this is why the flag is here, not a political statement. We are aware, we bewail the fact that there's many things about our country and in our country that unfortunately offend God. Unfortunately, it's a very atheistic sort of attitude, even though our national motto is "In God We Trust." There's such an effort to keep God completely out of the political realm. Whereas, as Pope Pius XI said in his encyclical on the kingship of Christ, all civil rulers have a duty to acknowledge Christ as the king. We bewail the sins that happen in our country, the terrible abortion, the unnatural vice, so many sins against purity, so many other kinds of sins. But that still does not excuse us from loving our country and wishing for and praying for and working for its betterment. And yes, I pray for the conversion of our country to the Catholic faith. It needs the Catholic faith. So we honor the flag as a symbol of our country. Let us think now of how, even on a much higher level, we honor the crucifix as a symbol of our Lord. And what we find so moving every year on Good Friday is how the entire congregation partakes in reverently coming up and kissing the feet of Jesus. And it takes a long time. By the time everybody can come and venerate the crucifix. But we accept that. We recognize this is such a deep and profound moment of honoring our Lord's death on the cross. That honor we give to the crucifix, that kiss we give to Jesus' feet, it's to go to him personally. Again, the power of the symbol. And we know that the crucifix is the very symbol of Christianity. How ironic that it was considered the worst form of punishment, worst form of executing a criminal. And God took that and made it into the symbol of his very own church until the end of time. And I would say for all eternity, the cross will be that symbol of his redeeming death, a symbol of him as the Messiah, as the priest and victim of the cross, redeeming mankind. And finally, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What is the heart? It's just really a pump that has to work without any interruption or we die. It pumps blood. But it's more than that. It's a symbol of love. And that's why on Valentine's Day you see hearts, red hearts, all over the place. Talk about the power of symbolism. It's a pump for the blood. But you see, we feel love here. We must remember, of course, that true love is essentially in the will. It's the choice we make. It's nice when the feelings are there too. And it's not wrong to associate love with feelings, but we must not forget that, or must not make the mistake of saying love is only a feeling. It's in the will even more than it is in our emotions. But as we all know, that heart is a symbol of love. And after he died, Jesus' heart was pierced. And that heart opened up. Whatever blood and water would be the pericardium, the fluid in the pericardium that surrounds the heart, that came out. And Jesus is symbolizing there, I gave you my all, even what was left in my heart. And that hole in the heart is a very powerful symbol too. How we have access to Christ. We can go into his heart. Again, symbolically. We receive the Sacred Heart in Holy Communion. And I want to be sure to end with this. The Sacred Heart is not just a symbol, a most powerful symbol. The Sacred Heart is to be adored itself. So it's a symbol, and it is the person that it is representing too. So we are in the month of the Sacred Heart. We try to understand better how sin and thoughtlessness hurt and offend and outrage the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we offer reparation and try to grow in greater love and adoration of this, not just symbol of the human love of our Lord in addition to his divine love, but again, it is God himself. So again, a day of symbolism today, and I hope that this was helpful in reflecting upon how powerful it is, how this symbol does so much to tell us about the person that it represents, and especially the cross and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We also have Mary's Immaculate Heart, not only a symbol of her motherly love, but also to be venerated, not adored, of course, she's not God, but venerated along with the Sacred Heart of her son Jesus. So what a blessing we have to have these wonderful devotions to help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.